What a contrast this morning from Good Friday. We were gathered here in this space. The blinds were drawn. The lights were very low. There were a few candles that were lit. There was a sense of darkness and sorrow and sadness as we just spent some time thinking about the cross, the death of Christ. And then as we left in somewhat of an unfinished state, just kind of walked out silently. And as we come in today, there's a sense of life. The windows are open. There's a bit of wind, which has caused a bit of havoc for musicians. But the sun is shining. There's light. There's beautiful flowers. You guys all look great. That's what I'm waiting for. Okay, thank you. I mean, come on. You're not going to get this very often. In fact, some of you, you know, funerals and weddings, that's pretty much and Easter. But it is so good to be together in God's house. Good to be together as the people of God. And if you're a friend visiting from the area or from out of town, we're so delighted that you're here with us, worshiping with us. It's so great. Easter Sunday should really be the easiest Sunday of the year to preach. It's a day that's full of excitement and expectation. The text is easy to find as long as it's got something that says Jesus Christ is risen today. The worship is exuberant, and it was today. Dave, your team, it was wonderful. The choir, I think we did okay. It, you know, from what I heard, I think it was wonderful. Thank you so much, Janice, for leading us, and Attila for being with us just to play, and for each one of you who participated in that. It was so much fun. The songs are about resurrection, the power and the glory of Jesus Christ, his greatness. People come to church charged up on chocolate. So you guys are like, of course, those of you who stayed up to watch the double overtime last night, you know, all you've got to go on is fumes and the excitement that the Leafs actually won a playoff game. So those of you who PVR'd it and hope to watch it this afternoon, sorry, I just gave it away. But seriously, there is life in the air on Easter Sunday, and so it should be easy to preach, right? Well, we'll see how that goes. As I said, we left this space, there was a sense of things being incomplete. But today we celebrate the resurrection. When Jesus died, those who followed him were beside themselves with grief. All hope had been lost. The future they had understood and hoped for was gone. What was happening before them as they watched Jesus died. They watched him being taken from the cross, being prepared for burial and laid in a tomb that did not fit at all with what they had planned or expected. And after all he had done, after all that Jesus had said, after all they had given up to follow him, all of it was lost on Friday afternoon when the thunder roared and the clouds came and it was dark. Jesus fell, his head fell lifelessly to his chest. But that was Friday. Today is Sunday. Early in the morning, Julia read the scripture. Early in the morning, the ladies, a few of the women, went to the tomb to finish what they couldn't finish on Friday. They go with heaviness in their hearts, their sadness, and they're startled as they come to the tomb and they find that the stone has been rolled away. And they look inside. They look inside and they see only the linen cloths that had wrapped his body. There was no body there. And the angels came to them and said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." They're shocked, they're amazed, they're taken back, and all they can do is run back and tell the other disciples what they had seen. The other disciples were huddled in fear in some room or in some home, huddled in fear, wondering what their future would look like. And then they hear the news that the women had shared with them, and they run and see, what is this? What is this? And all they find is a tomb that is empty. Does that really mean he is alive? Or is somebody just messing with their minds? Jesus is alive. Or is it Jesus is alive? an exclamation point and a question mark. Isn't life so much like that? Caught between exclamation points and question marks, wondering, wavering between these two. Did everything make sense again for them in that moment? Were all their hopes and dreams and aspirations of what it meant to be his follower put back in place? I guess that's the question that I ask myself this morning. Jesus is alive, but does it all make sense? Does everything fit together now? Jesus is alive. Who has he called me to be as his follower? What does it look like for me to live out the truth that Jesus has conquered death and has called me to live as his disciple? What has changed in me? And what needs to change still? Jesus said when he walked the earth and he spoke with his disciples, he said, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." You see, Jesus' death and resurrection has given birth to many seeds. It has given birth to new life, to forgiveness, to healing, to restoration, to transformation, to all who believe in him and put their trust in him. How does this happen? Well, let me show you. From the stories in the gospel story according to Luke, and you can follow along, it's in Luke chapter 24, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit about that story. It happened along a road. A road from Jerusalem to the town of Emmaus, however you want to say it. It's not unlike the road that you and I are traveling along today. And on that road, they walk knowing, having heard that Jesus is alive, but still trying to make sense of it all, still trying to figure out what does this mean for us. When he was crucified, his followers scattered. And by Sunday, the day after the Sabbath, a few of them found themselves together. And as they heard the news that Mary and the others shared that Jesus was alive, it just stirred up, an excitement, but also a wondering. And sometime during that day, two of those followers who had heard this news began to walk from Jerusalem to a nearby village called Emmaus. It says this was about 7 miles, 11 kilometers. So they walked from here maybe to about Milton. A long walk, maybe about 3-4 hours of walking. And as they walk, they're talking about the things that have happened over the last couple of days. And as they're walking and talking, Jesus comes to them. And he walks along with them. He begins to walk and they do not recognize him. And Jesus asks them a question. What is it that you're talking about as you walk along? This question seemed odd to them. It caught them a bit off guard because it seemed unusual, seeing all the things that had happened in Jerusalem over the past few days. I mean, you had to have been living on the moon not to know what was going on and what was capturing everybody's attention that weekend. And so they begin to tell Jesus, who they did not recognize, what had happened. They begin to tell him about a prophet who is powerful in word and deed. They talked about his wonderful teaching, the amazing miracles that he did, the amazing work he did. Because of his popularity with the people, the chief priests, the rulers had handed him over to be sentenced to death. And then they talked about how 3 days ago they had crucified him. They had put this man on a cross and they had watched him die. And along with his death, their hopes and dreams for the future would die. They had hoped that he was the one to save Israel. They had hoped that he was the Messiah. He was the one who was going to make everything good again. And what made matters worse, they're telling them this story as they're walking along. This morning, as they were gathered together, some of their women came back and they told them the story that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was in fact alive. Some of them even went and checked it out themselves and they saw it too, that it was empty. I mean, try to imagine the emotion of this. Try to imagine the anxiety. There's the sense of excitement, but also a sense of frustration. Like, what is going on here? The up and down, the feeling of, whoa, the roller coaster ride. I mean, these two, as they're walking along, the walls are completely down. They're talking to a stranger, just letting it all out, all their feelings and all the things that have happened as they share this with this man. Jesus, who they still did not recognize, just listened as they unburdened their hearts. I think this is an image of Jesus that we need to take a hold of. A Jesus who listens, who doesn't come as Mr. Fix-It, doesn't come as the one who condemns and judges and points here or there, and this is what you got to do, but he simply walks alongside them and he listens. He listens. He's present and he listens. After some time, Jesus just asks them a question, and he begins to lead them in this conversation toward the reality of what he has come to share with them. He says, didn't the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Now this man who was a stranger to them began to explain to them through the scriptures from Moses and the law and the Psalms and the prophets. He began to explain to them that all these things that had happened in Jerusalem that weekend were meant to happen. Jesus, whom they did not recognize, they did not know who he was, points their attention to the truth of God's word and reminds them that what was happening was part of God's plan. It doesn't say anything at this point about how they were feeling. It doesn't say anything about how they responded. Now they were the ones who were just walking along and listening and hearing. And Jesus talked to them about what the word of God had said. They're traveling, continuing their journey till they get to their destination. As they arrive at their destination, this stranger who was with them made it seem as if he was carrying on. And they said, no, come with us. Come and join us for supper. And they share a meal together. And as they sit down to this meal, this stranger takes the bread and he breaks it. And immediately, their eyes are opened and they recognize Jesus. They recognize him perhaps from that, they recognize him because they remember this body broken for me. Each time you break bread, be reminded of this. And their eyes were open and they recognized him. And as they look back on their journey, they're talking with each other and they observed, weren't our hearts strangely warmed? Wasn't there a fire burning in our spirits as we listened to these things that this stranger who is no longer a stranger, who is Jesus, was telling us? Of course, Jesus at that time, he wasn't limited by physical means and he just simply disappeared after they recognized him. And at that point, they understood what was to be. And they said, this is news we can't carry to ourselves. And so they turned around and made their way back to Jerusalem. Another 2-3 hour trek. I'm sure this time it was a lot lighter on their feet as they had just spent these 3 hours with Jesus. And they went and they shared this news with their friends in Jerusalem. The cross seems to be the end. It seems to be the final nail in the coffin, much like the brokenness and the despair of the various life situations that we face. To them, it seemed to be the end. Sometimes it is like we come to our own, to the end of our own ability. We come to the end of our resources, our emotions or whatever, and we feel like what is broken in our lives can never be restored. And we look and we feel like, well, that's like the cross on Friday. It's over. There's nothing more that can be done. And in truth, the cross is the end, but it's not the end of life. It's not the end of life, but it is rather the end of death. When Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, he was not saying, oh, it's finished. No, it was a shout of triumph. He was saying, it is finished. Victory has been won. The resurrection of Jesus on the other side of the cross means that life has overcome death. that for those who are at the end, for those of us who have reached the end of their ability, our resources, our emotions, when they put their trust in Christ, when we put our trust in Christ, then life will be given to them. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. The resurrection is proof positive that God has the power to deliver you from whatever you are experiencing, whatever it is in your life that is troubling you, that causes your eyes to tear, that makes your feet stumble. Jesus Christ's resurrection is the rebirth of hope. It is the power of transformation. All things have been made new. We're all walking along a road. Your life, my life, is a journey. It has a beginning point and a destination. And as we walk this road of life, we carry with us a backpack of our experiences. Whether we like to admit it or not, that includes disappointments that we have experienced. And we just pack them into our backpack. And we carry those disappointments, we carry those fears, we carry those unfulfilled dreams and loss, unfulfilled expectations, fear, anxiety, bewilderment, questions about the future, loss. It's like we carry it in our backpack with us wherever we go. And the backpack we carry also includes all that is good about our lives as well. Sometimes we forget about that. That's there too. The good things we've experienced, the joy and the wonderful experiences of victory. All of that is part of who we are. It's there, but often those good things get buried beneath the clutter of hurt, pain, and disillusionment. And the message of Easter is this: Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We've heard it today. We hear it again and again. And yet perhaps we're asking a question. So what? What does that mean? What difference does that make? Because life is hard. Because there are difficult circumstances we face. There are relationships that break down. There are challenges. There are walls, brick walls, concrete walls that are in our lives, that are before us. Life is hard. And I'm sorry to say, I don't see it getting any less difficult. But the message of Easter, the message of the resurrection, is that Christ walks with us. He is alive and he walks with us in all of these challenges. Could it be that right now, right in this moment, Jesus is walking alongside you in the midst of your disappointment and you don't even recognize him? You heard he was alive. You know people who believe it and you really hope he is, but he does not seem to be alive to you right now. Friend, he is walking with you. You may just not recognize him. Could it be that Jesus is listening to you as you unburden your heart? As you, in that quiet place, or when you're alone and your tears are there, or you're just feeling completely worn out, and you just lay it out, maybe to a friend, or to a family member, to a coworker, or maybe as you write your thoughts in your journal, and you just lay it all out there before him, could it be that Jesus is listening to you, hearing you out as you share those things? There's no answers to your wonderings. There's no solutions to your problems. He's just listening, and he's hearing you as you honestly unburden your heart. Could it be that Jesus is reminding you about what is true? Even while you feel like your faith is fading, maybe it's a timely word of a brother or sister in Christ, maybe it's a message you hear in church or on TV or in the radio, maybe it's a scripture that just seems to fit the moment that you're going through, and Jesus is reminding you about what is true. confirming that even though the journey is difficult and there are some significant challenges you are facing, it's a reminder that this is a part of God's work in your life, that He is at work in you to fulfill His plan. Over the next 7 Sundays and during the week in our small groups, we're going to take a walk. We're going to take a walk, and we're inviting you to walk with us on a journey not unlike this walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. These men, like us, were complicated. Some of what they felt and experienced was apparent on the surface. Some of what they had, they wore on their sleeves. But there was a whole lot more to them below the surface. There was much more taking place below the surface, like an iceberg. When you think of an iceberg, how there's that 10% or so that stands outside of the water, and you see it, and you kind of, oh, that's a beautiful chunk of ice. But underneath the water, there's like 90% more. That's kind of the complicated nature of us. And I'm sure those men walking down the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus were like that. And so this journey, this walk that we're inviting you in, is actually to take a look at some of those things below the surface, to see how God, through Jesus Christ, walks along with us through those things and helps us to bring clarity and understanding and wisdom so that as followers of Jesus Christ, we can live out in a good and pure and right way what it means to follow Him. As they walked and talked, Jesus ministered to their emotions, to their feelings, to their disappointments, their fears, their anxieties that lay below the surface, the deep and hidden things of their lives. He reignited hope. He reignited joy and peace, love in their lives through this simple encounter along the road and over the dinner table. Remember what they said, weren't our hearts burning as we listened to Him? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? To just feel that sense of reignition, of love, of joy, of peace, of hope, as we allow the Holy Spirit to reignite our awareness that Jesus Christ is alive. The series of talks and small group studies that we'll undertake is called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Sounds really serious, doesn't it? Really, it's a walk with Jesus. It's a walk understanding what it looks like to follow Jesus. Experiencing the transformation that we need and long for as Jesus walks alongside, restoring, healing, forgiving, and loving us. The book has been mentioned already, Emotional Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro and also co-written by his wife, Jerry, is a wonderful expression of just a very practical expression of walking out life with Jesus and looking at some of the things of our lives that maybe we'd like to keep in the background, but it brings them into the light as we walk alongside with Jesus. I do want to encourage you to pick up one of these books. It was $10 for this, and then the workbook. Now, if you're as part of a small group, a workbook is very helpful, but if you're not able to be a part of a small group, I'm going to give you a little bit of a inner battle right now. I'll give you this. If you're not a part of a small group, if you take this workbook, it'll be a great devotional tool and help for you over the next 8 weeks as well. Something that you can interact with others who are a part of a group, or even just, you know, as you, maybe it's with one or two other people that you can use as a tool. So I want to encourage you to really take these. Very affordable. We want to make it so that it is usable for you. We'll be encouraged and challenged to go beneath the surface and to experience the transformation that resurrection brings. We'll consider aspects of emotional health, like dealing with disappointment, conflict, anger, grief, and loss. We'll come to understand some of the tools that help bring balance into our lives, like rest, solitude, and listening prayer and reflection. And so I invite you to participate fully in this and to make this a priority, this window of time for this next 8 weeks. As I bring this to a conclusion, again, thinking of the road, walking a road away from Jerusalem, walking away from Jerusalem, the physical place of Christ's resurrection, figuratively speaking, the place where God was at work. These men were confused, disappointed, fearful, anxious, maybe a bit fed up with the roller coaster of emotions, maybe a little bit of anger. A load of emotion they carried with them as they walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they expressed this as they talked to one another. This parallels in so many ways the walk of our own experience, the journey to faith in Christ, or even our journey of faith in Christ, becoming open to Christ's work in our lives, growing and maturing in our relationship with Him, understanding what it means to relate to God, to relate to one another, even to relate to ourselves. Jesus comes alongside, walks with them. He walks with each one of us. And that's what this series is really going to be about, walking with Jesus as He walks with us. Jesus shows them through the scriptures what had happened had just been as it was supposed to be. Still, they were clouded by their emotions. They didn't get it. Later, they observed how their hearts were burning. They welcomed Jesus to stay with them. He broke bread and their eyes were open. They realized who He was. They began to understand the power of transformation that was in this resurrection moment, and they began to experience it for themselves. May this be your story. May this be our story together. As we tell our friends and as we live out this reality that Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace and your love towards us. Thank you, O God, that you sent your Son Jesus, and that Jesus was willing to come, emptying himself of all the glory of heaven, becoming a man, humbling himself even to the point of death, allowing himself to be crucified, taking upon himself the sin and the brokenness of our world, the sin and brokenness of each one of us, coming to life again, restoring hope, bringing transformation, bringing new life, overcoming the power of death. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful, amazing act of love. I pray, O God, that as we walk and journey along in our search for faith or even in our walking in faith, wherever we may be found on this day, I pray that you would meet us where we are and that you would reveal to each one of us the power of your resurrection to heal, to restore, to make all things new. Bless us, O God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.